Well, it's good to be here tonight, and when you're from Illinois, it's good to be anywhere. And for a few hours to breathe some free air, and then get back on the plane and go back to communist air. And but anyway, it's really a joy to be here tonight and see so many of you men that we've crossed paths with for many years, and pastor included tonight, Brother Larson. There's always great hospitality here at Moore Baptist Temple, and ladies, all the effort you put into the meals and everything, greatly appreciated. And the preparation for the meeting, so important, and so it's just good to be here. How many of you are veterans? How many of you are veterans? Look at that. One, two, three, four, five, six of you. It's, you know, I've often said, Ben will remember me saying this at home, I've never had to crawl in a foxhole. I've never faced a live fire on foreign soil. I've never had to take on an enemy that wanted to kill me. And I've lived in freedom for 66 years. And my family's lived in freedom for all these years. And it's men like you that men like me owe so much to. And so I appreciate your service. And it means so much to be an American. I appreciate what you say. We're in trouble, but where else would you want to live? What else would you want to be other than an American? And so, Brother Davis, thank you. I thought when you said the one word that sums up Brother Davis, you said honor, I thought you were going to say passion, because that's what I saw tonight. And I like that. We've lost a little bit of that in our churches and our preaching. We've lost passion. And I can just imagine what it would have been like to have been under his command. But thank you, brother, for your service, not only to our country, but to the Lord. And you've been faithful. We had our opportunity to be together out in Colorado some years ago. And so it's great to cross paths with him tonight. Brother Murphy, longtime friend, and you other men as well. Thank you, Brother Larson, for the invitation to be here. It's a special privilege to be with Ben tonight. His family is home for furlough, and they stayed all through COVID 4 years. Ashley didn't see her parents for 4 years. And so they came down to see Brother and Mrs. Finn for a few days. And so it's great to have him home. And there'll be a lot of meetings, of course, but it's a joy to have him come home. O'Hare Airport is a place of tears. It's happy tears when they come this way, and it's sad tears when they go that way. And now we have two of them, because I have a daughter down in Panama. And so it's double tears. But anyway, it's a joy to be with him tonight. Open your Bible to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And I want to just, in just a minute, I'll have you stand as Brother Davis did in honor of God's word. And I'm going to, for sake of time, I don't see a clock on the wall here. Is that okay? No clocks on the wall? I asked Brother Vineyard if he had a clock. We don't have clocks on the wall. We have a calendar. He said, Brother Legere, he said, every now and again, usher just goes over and flips the page, you know. But I believe it, the way he preached, he was there for a while. So, but I hope you'll be able to come back, as Pastor said, if you're able, tomorrow morning and tomorrow night, and even on Wednesday night. And this thing will be over before it begins, preacher, just the way it goes. So if you're able to stand tonight and honor God's word, we're in Mark chapter 11. And let me read one verse, and we'll refer to some other verses here. But verse number 24, Jesus says here, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, I want to read a verse for you from Psalms 85, verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again? Now, that's a prayer request, isn't it?
Yes.
Wilt thou not revive us again? And Jesus said here in the 24th verse of Mark chapter 11, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, Believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. And I want to speak tonight on the subject, areas in need of revival. Areas in need of revival. Let's pray. Father, my heart's been stirred tonight. Lord, to see this brother preach with such passion and knowing that he served our country for those 28 years and now he's serving you faithfully. And Lord, to be challenged in the area of faith by a Gentile who said, speak the word only. That challenges my heart. And I need that kind of faith. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me now in this message. I pray that you'll help me to be true to the context. And Lord, I pray that you'll fill us with your spirit, both speaker and listeners. May we have your help tonight. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. Amen. Be seated. Revival is a scary word to some people. They think it's some kind of weird, warm and fuzzy feeling that you get together and work up. And sometimes it's a scary matter to some people. But really, folks, revival is a renewal. It's a refreshing. It's a restoration. It's a visitation from God that breathes life into our sails and renews us in our relationship with Him. And one of the great prayer promises in the Word of God is found in this chapter in verse number 24. Now, this is the time when Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And at the end of the day, he went out to Bethany, where he often spent some time with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and then went back into Jerusalem the next morning. And that's where he saw the fig tree en route. And he went to the fig tree expecting to find some fruit on it. And he found nothing but leaves only. And you remember, he cursed the fig tree and he said, no fruit grow on you from here on out. Well, he went on into town and he cleansed the temple. And at the end of the day, back to Bethany he went. And then the next morning with his disciples, he went into Jerusalem again. And that's 24 hours later on that journey back into Jerusalem, the fig tree was withered at the roots. It was dead. And Peter remembered what Jesus had done, and he said, look at that tree. That tree you cursed is dead. Are you surprised, Peter? Are you surprised at that? Then Jesus said to them, have faith, verse 22, have faith in God. Yeah. Amen. That's what that centurion did, isn't it?
Yep. Amen.
Have faith in God. God can move mountains. That's what he said in verse number 23. God can make things happen. You and I have said about people, that person, that man can move mountains. What do we mean by that? We mean that they make things happen. And Jesus is saying that God makes things happen. So have faith in God. And that centurion found that to be true. The servant was healed. And then Jesus gives us that great prayer promise I mentioned in verse number 24. Now, the order of the words is important. Jesus said, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe. So you got those verbs, desire, pray, believe. Revival begins with desire.
Amen.
How much do you and I desire revival? How much do we desire a renewal? How much do we desire a restoration, a renewing, a visitation from God that breathes life into us? If that is your desire, then you take that desire to God in prayer. He didn't say if you pray. He said when you pray. When you study the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus never said, if you pray. He said over and over again, when you pray, when you pray, when you pray. Prayer is an automatic expectation of God. He says, when you pray. So when you have that strong desire, you take that desire to God in prayer, and he knows how sincere our prayer is based on the desire in our hearts. And when we pray, the prayer needs to be made in believing faith.
Yes.
Believing faith. Hebrews 11, 6, our brother mentioned it tonight. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So even if your faith is small, pray on with small believing faith. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed,
yes,
Now, we just heard about a man that had such great faith. Jesus had not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel. But isn't it wonderful that it doesn't always take that great of faith to see God make things happen? Sometimes it can be faith the size of a grain of a mustard. So you remember the father who came to Jesus with the devil-possessed son, and he asked Jesus to heal that boy. And Jesus told the father, all things are possible to him that believeth. Remember how the dad responded? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You know what? That's me. And I would guess that's you at times. Lord, I believe. Do I really? Help my unbelief. But what did the Lord Jesus do? Jesus healed his son. It's wonderful to have great faith, but it doesn't take great faith to pray a great prayer to a great God. Even if our faith, our prayer is mixed with a measure of doubt, God can and will answer it. Now, I think we have to always recognize our prayers need to be within the parameters of God's will.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Our brother talked about that tonight, being in God's will. We have to recognize his plan and purpose might not coincide with our request. You remember the example of Moses? You remember he smote the rock twice? And God said, you're not going into the promised land. You disobeyed me. I told you to speak to it. You smote the rock. You're going to see it, but you're not going to go in. You'll find Moses asking God several times, God, would you please let me go in? Would you please let me go in? Would you please let me go in? Until finally the Bible says that God told Moses, and I'm quoting now, speak no more unto me of this matter.
Yeah.
You ever tell your children, don't ask me again?
Yeah.
And that's what God said to Moses. Don't ask me again. Don't ask me anymore. And Moses didn't. Do you remember Paul? The Bible says that Paul besought the Lord. Paul didn't just say, oh, by the way, Lord, it'd be nice if you'd remove this thorn in the flesh. He besought the Lord. He begged the Lord. He pleaded with the Lord. Lord, please, thrice I besought the Lord, until God told Paul finally, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he gave him that thorn in the flesh so that Paul would be dependent upon him. And you know what God did? God changed Paul's desire. He never again asked God to take that thorn away. He said, I will therefore gladly glory in infirmities. I want this infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. So unless God says, don't ask me again, or unless God changes our desire, then desire and pray with believing faith, even if your faith is mixed with some doubt. Psalm 85:6 is a prayer. Wilt thou not revive us again?
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Do you desire that?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, our churches, our people need a new breath.
Yes.
We don't need to leave the old paths. We just need a new wind.
Amen.
A visitation from God that renews us, relifes us. And if you and I will begin, I believe with all of my heart, to desire and pray and believe that God can answer the request for revival, I believe we can see. We may not see a nationwide revival. God can. I don't know if we can get enough people on board to see that happen. But I believe a local church can have it. I believe an individual can have it. I believe a family can have it. I believe I can have it. I believe you can have it. And there are areas that the Bible makes clear that need to be renewed. There are areas in our lives that need to be revived. And it all begins with you and me desiring and praying and believing that God can and will send renewal and revival, at least to us.
Amen.
I want to show you three areas tonight. Turn to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51. you know right away, Psalm 51 is a very familiar psalm. It contains the prayer of confession that David made after his sin with Uriah, with Bathsheba and Uriah. Psalm chapter 51 and verse number 10. I want you to look at picking it up there. I'm not going to read the entire psalm, but look what David prayed for. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Now watch this. "And renew." That's revival.
Yeah.
"Renew a right spirit within me." Renew a right spirit. So the first area of our life that needs revival is our spirit. His prayer of confession included a request for a renewed spirit. By the way, this is a reference to David's spirit, not the Holy Spirit. David asked God to renew a right spirit within him. Now, folks, think, if he is asking God to renew a right spirit, that means David previously had a right spirit, but now he needed it to be renewed.
Yes.
Something had happened.
Yes.
This is the time, as I said, in his life, when he made this request to God after his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, adultery and murder, premeditated, thought out adultery and murder. Obviously, David's right spirit had been compromised by sin. And because of that, his spirit was badly in need of renewal. And people, if you have ever been right with God, you know when you're not. I don't believe it's a guessing game. I believe we know when we're not. Some years ago, a man in the church, Wayne Irvin, helped me put a small deck on the front of my house. And we took the post hole diggers, earning that PhD, amen. Took the post hole diggers and digging those hose down, and we put the post around. That's how we started, of course, building the deck. And it got toward the end of the day, and he had to leave, and I had the last two posts to set. They were the posts that were at the bottom of the stairs, where was going to be the steps. Only four steps, I think, three or four steps. And we were going to put the post at the bottom there. So I said, "Wayne, I'll set those." And I got the post set and put the sackcrete around there and tapped it all in. Put the dirt back on, tamped it all in real good and tight, and let it sit up overnight. And the next day, I drove back in my lane there where we live. When I pulled down the lane, I stopped, looked down the sidewalk, like looking down this aisle here, and I stopped. Now look at this. That right post, it didn't look right. And I got my level out, and it was just out of tolerance. I thought, nobody will see that. And nobody did. But me.
Yes, sir.
And every time I drove in that lane, I'd stop. And after enough time, I finally got my tools out. And I got my shovel, and I dug around that post, and I jerked it out of the ground, and I knocked the sackcrete off the bottom of it, and I got it all redug, and I set it back in there, and I put a new fresh bag of sackcrete around there, and put the dirt on it, tamped it, put my level on there, 4-foot level, made sure it was all good and straight, and the next day when I pulled down that lane, it was perfect. And I never stopped since to look at that thing. Because I know it's right.
Amen.
David knew there was more wrong with him than just some physical, immoral sin.
That's
his spirit was messed up.
Yeah.
It was David's spirit that influenced his thoughts, his emotions, and choices. His spirit was not under the control of the Holy Spirit. And Satan used the temptation of the world to allure David into sin. He used the lust of David's eyes, the lust of David's flesh, and the pride of David's life.
Yeah.
To call for Bathsheba and then have her husband murdered. He saw her, he wanted her, and then the pride of life kicked in. I can do this, I'm the king, I'm entitled to do what I want to do. Sometimes that's how we get. Well, I'm under so much stress and I'm under so much pressure, but these long hours are getting to me and I'm entitled to. What a compromise of his spirit.
Yeah.
This is the man who penned the words in Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. Where is that spirit? That spirit was upright, it was faithful, it was firm and stable. That spirit had been compromised by the temptation of sin. And by the way, sometimes it's not the big things that compromise our spirit. Was David's spirit compromised by something as simple as not being where he was supposed to be? It was the time when kings went forth to battle. They're going to be out there with the people, with the soldiers. But David tarried still at Jerusalem.
Right.
And sometimes, folks, it's not the big things that sour our spirit. We have to watch ourselves. Be careful. Question, how's your spirit?
Amen.
How's your spirit towards your church?
Wow.
Those of you who are members here at Moore Baptist Temple, how's your spirit? How's your spirit towards your spouse? Your spirit offended? How's your spirit towards your pastor? How's your spirit towards your dad and mom? How's your spirit towards your brothers and sisters in Christ? Has your spirit soured? Does your spirit need renewal? Does it need revival? David asked for forgiveness. He asked for cleansing, he asked for washing, he asked for purging. That would take care of his conscience and his broken fellowship. But David included a prayer for renewing his spirit. A renewed spirit would be a return to that upright and faithful and firm and stable spirit that pleased God and people. Our spirit is sometimes an area where we need renewal.
Amen.
And every pastor has seen it. Brother Hollers, I would guess that you've pastored the longest. Maybe Brother Baskew, I'm not sure. You've been pastor how many years, brother?
30
years. Every pastor has seen it. Something changes in a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where there was praise, now there's criticism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where there was willingness, now there is reluctance.
Wow. Yeah.
Where there was a smile, now there's a frown. Where there was a spirit of I get to, now there's a spirit of I have to.
Come on. It's good.
Oh, you may not be living in immorality.
Yep. Yep. Right.
You may not be a thief. But your spirit is in need of renewal.
Yes.
A refreshing. They used to sit in the front row. Used to take Ben with him on the bus route visiting every Saturday.
Yep.
One of the best soul winners in our church. And then one day, a member criticized one of their children. I'm not justifying the criticism, but the brother didn't handle it right. And his spirit got compromised. I remember when they moved from the front row to the back row.
Yeah.
And then the back row to the front row in the balcony,
yeah,
right on the edge. And they would come in after the service started and leave at the invitation.
Yeah.
Until one day, the pew was empty. I'd bet $1,000 if I was a betting man that man's not involved in immorality. I'd bet $1,000 if I was a betting man that man's not involved in thievery, gambling. See, what happened to him, Brother Angel? His spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
His spirit went south. Come on now.
Amen.
Our spirit goes south sometimes. And it needs renewal. Refreshing. Could be that someone in the auditorium tonight You're battling the very thing I'm talking about right now. There's nothing big going on, but friend, I'm going to tell you something. A sour spirit can lead to some real trouble. Our spirit is in need of revival. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Here's another verse that you know very, very well. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31. Not only is our spirit in need of renewal, our strength is in need of renewal. And I love chapter 41 in Isaiah. These chapters in Isaiah are so powerful. And I just enjoy verse number 31 so much at the end of the chapter. Chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord, here it is now, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is a great promise to God's people that our spirit can be renewed with strength. Our strength can be renewed. God told the tribe of Asher, I love this, through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 25, God told those people, the tribe of Asher, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. This was before they went into the promised land. God promised them, don't miss this now, that whatever challenges their days threw at them, their strength would be up to the challenge. God would see that they had enough strength to do what they needed to do in the face of all the trouble and all the enemy. Now think about that, church. God said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. I hear people say all the time now, I say it too. These are troubled days. And sometimes we almost say it with resignation.
Yeah.
Like we're not on the winning side. But as difficult as these days may be, folks, Our strength will be what we need it to be if we get a renewed visitation from God to renew our strength, revive our strength. You know, referring to the Antichrist, God said in Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. The Antichrist will speak words against God Almighty, and he'll also wear out the saints of God Almighty.
Yep.
Now, that's a reference to the Antichrist during the tribulation, but people, we know from the Word of God that the spirit of Antichrist has been in this world since the first century A.D., and his spirit is only increasing in activity, increasing in power in the world in which we are living. And that kind of activity wears on God's people.
That's right.
Yep. Sin is wearying.
Amen.
And the Antichrist is called the man of sin. Don't kid yourself. The in-your-face aspect of sin today is wearying. We are wearied by a corrupt government. We're wearied by stolen elections. We're wearied by this small sodomite crowd that gets front page coverage. We're wearied by what our kids in our country are exposed to in the public schools. We have a substitute. We have a full-time public school teacher in our church, and we have a part-time substitute teacher. What goes on in the public schools in Kankakee, Illinois, I just cringe. We're wearied by this awful emphasis on abortion. There's some governors, mine included, who just want to see how deep in the pit they can go concerning abortion. And that's wearying. We get wearied by the robbing of our hard-earned money in taxation. And I could go on and on. And you don't have to be an avid follower of the news to get this information. It's out there. It's in our face.
Right.
Well, that type of thing doesn't bother me, Brother Terry. I'm sorry, but God said that the Antichrist will wear out the saints of the Most High. God said that would happen. And an attitude of invincibility to that is dangerous.
Amen.
That kind of thing wears down our strength. But thank God, our strength can be renewed. Our strength can be restored. Our strength can be relived. And I want to say tonight to the young couples in this room, do not allow the fear of the unknown to grip your heart and sap your strength. I remember during the mess of COVID, a young couple, with a few children, came to me and he said, "Pastor, do you think my wife and I should try to have any more children?" In other words, what he was saying was, things are so bad. Should we even bring another child into this world? And I want to say to the young couples in this room tonight, as you face today's culture, rearing your little children in the culture of what's becoming a godless country,
yes,
as you rear your family, as thy days, so shall thy strength be.
Amen.
Whatever situation you are facing, whatever turmoil is going on in this country, your God can renew your strength and restore your strength and revive your strength. It'd be a good thing to have our strength renewed, and God can and will renew your strength so that you can do everything for the Lord that you need to do.
Amen.
I'm not talking about a pep rally here. I'm talking about a Bible truth. Your strength can be renewed. It would be good to ask God for a revival of strength. I'm not talking about physical strength. I'm talking about spiritual strength. I'm talking about renewed strength for us to be what God wants us to be in this critical day and hour. This is not the hour to give up serving God. This is not the hour to quit working the bus route. This is not the hour to quit teaching the Sunday school class. This is not the hour to give up rearing a godly family. It's not time for that. As thy days, so shall thy strength be.
Amen.
God's strength can help us do what we're supposed to do.
That's right.
I'm sure y'all know Brother Jerry Ross, pastor out there in Jasonville, Indiana, fighting cancer. And I got an update from him today that the PET scan came back to say that the tumor was reduced, but it's not completely gone, so he's still in the battle. But There was a 4-day window between all of his treatments earlier this year when he came to preach for us, had a revival scheduled, and I gave him every opportunity to back out. I said, "Brother Jerry, if you need to be home with your wife and your family," he said, "No, I believe God wants me to come." So he came. He preached Sunday morning through Wednesday night. In Sunday morning service, he preached on the hands of God. It was very tender. It was very transparent about his battle with cancer. He preached on the hands of God, and we didn't have any visitors. It was in February. We didn't have any guest visitors, and he just preached it to our church, and the invitation was just about over. And as it was just about over, here came 82-year-old Dolores Redmond from the very back row where she sits with her son-in-law and daughter. And here she came with her cane down the aisle, and the tears are just pouring down her cheeks. And I watched her. She came to Brother Allen, standing there at the front to talk to people. And so I'm talking with her, and the music kept playing. And pretty soon, here she went off with one of our ladies to the baptistry. And Allen turned around, and he said, "Dolores wants to get baptized." I said, "Well, amen." And so it took a little while, 82 years of age. She moved slow. And that dear lady got in that tank with tears coming down her cheeks. And Brother Miller, Brother Allen baptized her. And we all rejoiced and dismissed the service. And I went to the back and was waiting there for her to come and join her family. I wanted to ask her, what happened? And so she finally made it back. It took a while because her hair was perfect again, amen, after the baptistry. She was not going to come out until that hair was perfect, right? I said, Dolores, talk to me. She said, Pastor, when I was 5 or 6 years old, I prayed a prayer and they baptized me. She said, I wasn't saved. She said, I got saved when I was 14 at a teen camp. But I never got baptized because I am deathly afraid of water. Her family didn't know. Her daughter didn't know. Son-in-law didn't know. Her granddaughter didn't know. Her granddaughter's husband didn't know. Nobody knew. All those years she was scared to do what she's supposed to do for God. She said, you know, this week I was thinking about the hands of God. And I almost called the church to see if I could talk to you and ask you if you'd ever preached a sermon on the hands of God. And Brother Jerry Ross preached on the hands of God and how the hands of God can make us strong. And she said, I knew it was time for me. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. You don't have to run out of gas. But Murph, how long you been going, brother? How many years? 38 years. It's a little tiring out there, doesn't it? Tired in it, but not tired of it. How long you been in the Philippines, brother Dion? 35 years. Yeah. Some of you faithful laymen, gray hairs. Boy, church needs gray-haired laymen. Not time to throw the towel in. You may not be able to do all you used to do physically, but as your days, so shall your strength be. What we need every now, what we need every now and again is just a little bit of renewal. A renewal, revival in our spirit and revival in our strength. Last of all, number three, look at Lamentations chapter 5. Turn to your right there, the book of Lamentations chapter 5. And number three, I want to show you here the third area that needs revival. Our spirit needs to be revived. Our strength needs to be revived. In Lamentations chapter 5, you know what Lamentations is? It's Jeremiah's lament, right? Amen. Weeping over the destruction of his blessed country and his city. The crown has fallen from Jerusalem. It says that in verse 16. Look at verse 21. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Our spirit needs to be renewed, our strength needs to be renewed, and our space of time needs to be renewed. Jeremiah was living in a day, a space of time, and he asked God for a return to the previous days, the previous space of time, days of old. Now, wait a minute, people. He's not asking for God to take him back in time. He is asking for his days to be renewed in the power and glory of the old days. Amen. And the old days is a reference to the days when Israel was right with God and God was pleased with Israel. The days when God was worshiped and false gods were banned. The days when sin and wrong were not accepted as the norm. The days when their hearts burned with love for the Lord God Almighty. The days when they had clean hands and pure hearts and ascended the hill into God's presence. Oh God, renew my space of time and the days of old. People, we don't need to go back to the days or the time of the Great Awakening or the Fulton Street Revival or even the late 60s or 70s. How are we going to do that? And sometimes, and I'm sure they don't mean it this way, but sometimes, Brother Larson, I hear preachers, it's kind of like we have to go back to the 60s. We have to go back to the... It's impossible. It's impossible. What we need is for God to renew our days as the days of old. We need the same spirit that permeated those days. We need the willingness to live holy unto God and apart from the world, a deep commitment to God and His Word, a spirit of enthusiasm about God and His work. And some people's minds, it's like we need to get a tent and cover the ground with sawdust, run across the platform and slide into home plate and jump up and call ourselves out or safe like Billy Sunday did. And if we'll just do that, the bars will close and the beer haulers will be out of work. Well, that would be great. But if you are only going to be happy with those kind of days, you may be disappointed. But our days can be renewed as the days of old. The same Bible, the same Holy Ghost power, the same commitment to enthusiasm for God, the same love for God and for souls, the same holy walk and talk. We can have our days renewed as days of old. COVID did a number on us. We came back to church, but I'm not sure we came back like we left. I'm going to tell you, I'm just being transparent with you. It was slow, man. And I mean, it was tough getting any momentum. We weren't closed very long. We only had like 2 Sundays with a dozen people, and then people just started coming, and I didn't send them away. But even after we opened, it was just slow as far as seeing people saved, and it was that way for a couple years, Brother Murphy. Last fall, which is almost a year ago now, fall of 2022, we were going to have a program in the fall, spring, a fall program with competition. You know how you do that sometimes. I'm all for that. But God just put it on my heart that we don't need to compete against each other. We need to bombard heaven. Yeah. And so our whole program was designed around prayer. And we set up cottage prayer meetings on Saturday night. We had no food, no pressure on the family, no gossip. These are the things to pray for. Come in and meet and pray in several different houses around the different areas. We had prayer partners. Everybody in the church partnered up, kids, teenagers, adults, called each other on the phone 3 minutes, gave them targeted prayer requests. Did that every day for a month. We had sheets of paper on the table out in the foyer that listed 30 days, breakfast, lunch, supper. And we said, go by and sign up for as many as you want to fast. Maybe you can't fast all day, but take a breakfast, take a lunch, take a supper. And the whole sheet was filled with people in our church. Every day for 30 days, breakfast, lunch, supper, somebody was fasting and praying. We had little pipe cleaners that they gave out. Green, black, and white, like a power cord. And wrapped them, we put them around our steering wheels. We put them around our refrigerator doors. And that little green, black, and white trio of pipe cleaners was a reminder for us to pray. And pray. And the people did. And that Sunday morning, we had 25 adult visitors. The place was full. And during the preaching, just a very simple message out of the book of Acts about old Felix who trembled. Somebody showed up. And it wasn't a person with 2 legs. Was an invisible person. I love amens. I love enthusiastic services, but I also love it when it gets quiet. Not a dead quiet, but a God quiet. And it just got quiet. It got still. Be still and know that I'm God. I finished the sermon, had heads bowed and eyes closed. And are you going to put it off? Are you going to say when I have a more convenient season? Or is this your day? And hands went up. And I said, if you need to be saved, come. Brother Murphy had hesitated just for a minute. And they started coming. And when they came with tears coming down their face. 10 adults and one teenager came and trusted Christ that morning. Now, we haven't seen that every Sunday. But I'm going to tell you, I needed to see that my days could be renewed as days of old. So can yours and yours and this church and your church and your church. And it's not that everybody has to have 10 saved. It's that everybody just needs a little bit of renewal. Refreshing. A visitation from God. Wilt thou not revive us again? In my spirit, in my strength, in my space of time. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word tonight to these folk that are here. I think of the message on faith. Lord, no doubt many of us in this room desire the faith of that centurion. And many of us desire renewal, a restoration, a revival. Some might need it in their spirit. Others might need it in their strength. Others might desire it for their space of time. But God, would you send us revival personally in our families, in our churches? Visit us, please. Visit us, please.